see the obvious turn to Daniel chapter 8. Decided like that. That's very, very important.
We're very great English here.
Someone mentioned the other day your love to us, and actually someone that our adjustment passes by through here every so often. Just it was very easy when you think about it.
People involved,
one very easy transition. Again, you know, who will transition responsibly ever go, and I thank this church for that.
Our young people, all the opportunities,
still very delighted to be here.
Chapter 3,
and anyway, that's just very, very. All right, take your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king,
the first one that first
image of gold, whose height was stamped
for reading of the word of God, Daniel chapter 1, we will read responsibly.
Set it up in the plain of Dura,
in the province of Babylon.
And chapter, and verse 8, rather, is our text verse tonight.
Princes, the
that's awesome. I love it. And I had a lot of good comments about our last Sunday night service.
The third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and
he never could rest
job in Babylon.
Unto one said, it does show growth.
Shows,
and the princes, the governors, and our young captains,
and the judges, and the treasurers.
You know, by the way, there are all the rulers of
provinces, which,
you know, that gather together under dedication or training now.
If we don't train them, who's going to?
They stood before,
you know,
the image,
but the world have them.
No,
and the king's
taking
to Ashpenaz,
and we need to go ahead and ground them in the word of God now. And
of the children of Israel,
I was telling somebody the other day,
and of
you
the
know,
king,
at what time,
you know,
our
independent
Bible
and
fundamental churches ought to be
the ones producing the preach,
and the preacher's wives,
and the kind of music.
We ought to be the ones
fall down,
training them, honing them,
to
the work for the Lord. And I say, you know, people ask me about this, and I say, well, let the world, okay, let the world.
The king appointed them, plumbers,
and all that. And don't misunderstand
mine.
You know, that's what my job, our job is to go out and reach them.
And
we need the plumbers, we need the electricians, we need them to come in and be faithful and so forth.
But,
you know, let's take the next generation. Let's take the next generation. Let's train them for the cause of Christ. Now, is every teenager here going to go off and be a preacher?
No.
Is every expag on the sea going to go off and be a
preacher?
No. But we ought to do everything we can to equip them with the gospel and give them opportunities that if God does lay on their heart to preach, if God does lay on their heart to
missionary
and so forth, they need to be produced out of the local church. And again, don't misunderstand me. People say, well,
Heavenly Father,
what do you say? We don't need
to thank you tonight.
Yes, we need the plumber. We need the other fields
might
be well. But I say, let the world train them and let us train our young people.
Your simple word be preached.
Hope you understand that. But anyways,
anybody else?
It's not preaching time.
Well,
hesitated to preach.
Anybody else?
I alluded to this in my morning message. And
all right, we had a special
actually,
Brittany, come on up here.
And this afternoon,
in his rage and fury, commanded to bring
generally I had a different Sunday evening message going a different direction, but
I
Lord just kind of laid some things on my mind. You know, my notes are, if you saw them, it's one of them nights, if you saw the notes, you'd wonder, what is it?
You know, if he be ready,
and,
but
I'm just trusting the Lord that he can give me clarity tonight, try to put my thoughts on paper
and all kinds of music,
how it works.
But
tonight, you know, Brother Howes used to call this kind of message, if you will, kind of running around town a little bit, and we might just kind of hit a little bit of everything tonight, but I want you to follow you along with me. I will kind of walk through most of this chapter tonight, Daniel chapter 1, and I want to be of help. King Nebuchadnezzar came and besieged Jerusalem and made himself master of it. That's the text here in verses 1 through 8. He seized the king, Jehoiakim, took whom he pleased and what he pleased, and left Jehoiakim to reign as a tributary to him. Nebuchadnezzar did not destroy the city or kingdom, but he took part of all the vessels. In verse number, you'll see this, if you kind of follow along some of the scripture, you will see where I am here. Verse 2, he took part of the vessels of the house of God and took them to the house of his God, little G-O-D. You know, the Bible says that he goes to Ashpenaz. Verse number 3, the king speaks unto Ashpenaz, the master.
I want to talk to you this morning on the subject.
You should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's
fighting fire, God's
recorder. All of the
familiar
passage.
He went to Ashpenaz,
count to Nebuchadnezzar,
setting up the golden image, and how he made
to bring certain of the children of Israel,
all the instruments
the kingdom.
That we read several times
now,
there.
Let me just,
everybody,
Nebuchadnezzar was not a good
bow
king.
Down and
bash
the golden image.
And you know, if you read a story, I do believe along the way,
times the statement, thou or thou hast set up
in the book of Daniel.
You know, there's a lot of pride in starting out.
He,
you know, you can go to Daniel chapter 4 and even speak more of his pride.
So far,
Nebuchadnezzar
had
was a very God.
He was a wicked king.
But there are three
he was also a bad
knew the Lord
here.
But there's something that's saying to me, about only one God, that is our great creator, their great creator, the King of Kings, that is the God of gods. They knew what the law said. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, 4, and 5, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything.
You know, notice that heaven above, for that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children,
that's just
unto the third and fourth generation.
How often I've read this chapter.
These men were determined
down
times.
They knew the law. They knew that God.
You know, they had a special relationship with Nebuchadnezzar,
and there was not anything wisdom about him that go ahead and know them.
To go ahead and bow down to any other God.
Good.
He determined
that
they
would not bow,
if you will, would take their stand.
You know, let me just ask you this question.
Who or what is your God this morning?
Who or what is it that is in front of God's people versus his kingdom?
He was a wicked king, yeah?
He had a wicked kingdom,
but yet he went to God's people,
other things,
go ahead and bring
or other
in.
God's
children such were crowed, such as
verse 4
describes without
very, very
blemish.
Who, what is children were clean?
What is in front of God?
God, bad reputation.
By the way, we need to describe how we ought to be.
Revival Christians,
that this skin is exactly how we ought to be.
You know, children, God without blemish,
they are clean.
Without children, well,
they could be trusted.
They had no bad reputation.
They were skillful in wisdom,
they were smart,
they were knowledgeable,
they had God-given wisdom,
God.
And not only those Christians who
prayed out,
they lost their salvation,
but
God.
Why wouldn't we want to serve, you know,
it didn't just happen.
You know, he saved you, he took you out of the fiery pit of hell,
he sent his son Jesus,
why wouldn't we want to put any other God
in that either
one? Why wouldn't we want to go
and put the ability to teach?
That's
the Bible says in Hebrews 5:4,
forsaking,
in other words, that's how we ought to be in our together.
You know, why we ought to be without blame?
We ought to have,
you know, we get to go ahead and every single
one
come and hear the unsearchable riches of Christ. We get the freedom. You know what, right now,
God is Christian. We ought to desire the things of the world.
We ought not desire the freedom of the world.
We ought to thank God that we can,
even on a snowy day,
on a sunny day like this,
that we can come to church.
We can
in the world, God.
You know what,
so often, even today, we have a testimony.
I think there will be something different.
A little bit of nonchalant about that.
I said our little bit
of church trying to be.
So what is it that you put in front of God?
You know, I hear Nebuchadnezzar.
He knew that he was trying to get as much
over time for the China people
that he wanted.
I'm not into his kingdom.
You got to work. You got to work.
The truth of the matter is,
that he didn't go after
ahead. If we go ahead,
we didn't go ahead and after
the young people per se
in his kingdom,
church,
go ahead and bring that
in. He went ahead
and went after God.
Why? Because
that's
actually what Nebuchadnezzar wanted his
boy
to
do.
We are putting something else
in front of God.
Hey, what
a child of God.
Let me just say this. The world ought to see something different in
the Bible reading time.
They ought to go ahead
what
and see
a change in you.
You know, we need a revival Christian today.
Say, hey, I will only swear I don't
the truth.
God, I'll go ahead and I'll give you everything
there. I don't give my life.
I'll give my family.
I'll go ahead and do whatever you want me to do.
We need a revival Christian.
Why? Because it's been a great change.
I will go ahead and serve born again.
King of kings.
The God of lords.
You know what, by the way, Jesus never fails.
You know what,
we about God,
that will never
fail. Told the king,
you know what, this is
who I want.
And I see good people,
if you will.
They love me.
You know what, you live right.
I'm not against a nice car.
You live right on the job.
You know what,
there will be people that will make fun of you.
2008,
2009,
Ford Mustang parked right out here.
I'm still waiting for it. I don't know where it's at, but I'm still waiting for it.
My truth to man,
let me tell you something.
The occult day where the book of man lives before I have a vehicle
to be
a God
in my Chaldeans, I think.
You know, we better be very careful
in what we put in front of God.
They didn't like Daniel.
Go ahead,
Shadrach, Meshach,
and Abednego.
Simply because the king had favor with them, as we read in Daniel chapter 1.
And the Chaldeans, I think, were the kind of people that were just kind of looking
for some little blemish or some little problem.
And when that car that is so important to us,
we go ahead and make sure
it's polished.
You know what?
The Chaldeans said, oh king, you know, they didn't go ahead and bow down. I think they were just looking for somebody.
And by the way, you know what? The world, they go ahead and tattle on you or whatever.
You know, that car,
and they may go ahead and try to be watching you and
look for
that one little blemish, that one little thing that they can go ahead and say,
hey, you know what,
they say they're Christian,
but
they did this and so forth.
You know,
I know also by experience
that the world can be impressed
by someone
who lives
in nice electronic equipment.
You know, I said this, you know, I work in Chicago.
and keeping God.
And I had these two different instances. You know, this was Nebuchadnezzar wanted.
This morning,
Nebuchadnezzar wanted nothing to do with the king.
He didn't like it. He took on me
because Sean was working too hard, and he was making the rest of the crew look bad.
What I supposed to do,
you know, it's just kind of incredible, kind of baffled me. So that tells me, yes, the world makers,
you want to try to get head right.
Everybody was supposed to bow down at that golden image. I thank God there was three. I thank God for the example of three young men at this particular time that I met with in the world.
Again, you want what you have or something.
They're going to look at older here,
and as a result, they're going to trust me.
They're going to put the Bible down, and they're not ever about some other God, great time of the Lord Jesus Christ.
But they saw that I wasn't.
They worked in wavering. They saw that I was.
They served the king, if you will.
They worked for the king.
The king obviously knew that there was something different about these guys.
They went ahead.
Go ahead.
I don't have time right now. Go back to chapter 1.
And by the way,
already
you know what?
You can go ahead
and see people in their heart
have. They would not
good file in your life.
If they're all in that kind of testimony
to the world that we ought to have.
We ought to have a good reputation.
Verse number 4
tells us exactly how we ought to live.
There are well
under
as law. They were not
go ahead.
God
says wisdom, if you will.
We ought to be children of God
who is without blemish.
You go ahead.
We ought to have good testimony.
You prove me. You give me
something about
see if I would have a better testimony.
Set about what I want
and be stronger.
Don't make
the world
be. I don't have to bow myself at that time.
You point at the wine for their nourishment for the next 3 years.
Why then?
Why that kind of food?
We want to prepare them
to stand before him
one day as a
you want to prepare this
world.
Hey, we've got to be very careful
who or what is in the place of God.
The king obviously knew that
there was something different about these guys.
They were not your average men from three
battles on.
They were hard-working men.
They worked with the king after all.
They were probably well-liked by the king.
There's a difference about them.
You know, I think,
one, no, as a result,
the king wanted to
work for the king
or whatever the book is.
But one day they were going to stand before the king.
Now, among these,
the ones that Ashpen has
written
you find brought in from
the children of Israel,
from God's people,
whereas
Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah
had already gone
to what does the king do?
He changes their name.
He goes ahead
and says, for he gave
Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael,
and Azariah,
and verse 9,
he had already had
Mishael,
of Mishael,
and of Azariah, of
Abednego.
But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself,
as
in our text tonight, with the portion of the
astrologers, if you will,
with the wine which he drank.
Therefore, he requested
of the prime eunuch
that he might not defile himself.
You know, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to change them, if you know, will.
They were
wanted
to
destroy
their lives
and false as well,
and become
like one of them,
though he still wanted
them to have that reputation.
You know what? They went ahead
and
they kept their eye.
I think these guys had a little bone to
pick. Well, you know what?
I'll beat them.
I'll beat them.
I'll beat them.
I'll beat them.
By the way, you know what?
I'm going to change.
I find
we would go ahead and live right.
And the truth of the matter is,
I like the fact that
these three boys, by the way, they were teenagers.
The world does.
They were youth.
You know,
they were children
ahead,
without
blemish,
okay?
You know, it started
some
with their
point,
youth,
people
by the
in the
way.
World will go ahead and be
you know, and in chapter 3, I think there
were
grown men when they were
not
in bad
above anybody else.
There's some years on them,
never
but
go
it started
saying
that we're
so
youth.
Let me just
cut this off and say this, teenager.
You better eat this preaching up.
You know, when
you better go ahead and eat up the right kind of music.
You better soak in,
hang
it. You better lift up the God of
the Lord. You know,
you're not going to
pray to worship.
Rub
the God of the Lord
and take your action.
You're not very humble.
Well,
I'm the one preaching right now, but I just have
to just say this.
You know, for many, many years in my life,
rather
one of the wisest things I ever did.
You know,
the people that I admired the most were Bible-believing
Baptists. If we go ahead and
be sharp,
if we know
God,
if we
stand for right,
if we're
an
IRB,
my hero,
or some rock musician,
God forbid,
be my hero,
or some world star,
you know who my heroes are?
They're the ones that
preach the God.
Why would we want
to God? Why do we want
to but those who
why would
those want to not hit
her and Joseph?
Let our
heroes
hear it.
By the way,
you ought to
surround yourself
with the kind of heroes.
Right. You know what?
You're not too old to have heroes either.
You ought to surround yourself with them kind of men.
You know, wherever you go,
they are set
boys. You know, I tell you,
she's not
cut.
She
know
what? There's
something different
about what they
say,
man.
You know what?
You're an outward appearance
ought
to tell the world, man,
that there's something different.
We sound a little southern up north.
Praise the Lord.
If you want,
I want to go ahead and
wave a hanky.
The way I say it, amen,
go ahead and wave your hanky.
Hey, guys, if you want to go ahead and let her rip,
if the preacher
preaches
a good point,
and you're excited,
you go ahead.
I don't care if you
stand up and shout amen.
It's okay to say
amen. I really do. I don't think they were somebody.
But Nebuchadnezzar
that was pushed aside.
Tried to go ahead and make them change.
Many people in the province.
He wanted them to forget their laws and become like one of them. He provided them the meat. He changed their name. But these boys, they were well grounded. These teenagers, they were well grounded. They well knew where they stood. I think the reason why the king went on Israel was because they were hardworking men. But you know what?
The jealous people.
Let me ask you a question. I'm getting a little ahead of myself.
The people, the Chaldeans.
I just have to get it right now. You know, one day they went ahead and they took notice. You know, not a wicked king like Nebuchadnezzar.
Oh, king.
Not an earthly king, but wicked
king. You know what? You know the law that you passed. You told us that when all the Jews of King Lays were to go ahead and bow down,
I want you to go gather some certain young people or some certain Christians and bring them to me.
Would they choose you because of the way you act?
Would they choose you because of your behavior? Would they choose you because of your faithfulness to church and your faithfulness to the Word of God? Would they go ahead and choose you? Hey, you know what? These guys are chosen. Ashpenaz, go ahead. Find me some certain young men. Find me those without blemish. Find me those who are cunning in knowledge. Find me those who are without spot. Hey, find me some clean guys. You bring them to me. Hey, let me tell you something. We're going to stand before a king one day. Would you be chosen? Would you be chosen this evening? But these teenagers, hey, teenager, would you be chosen?
Yes.
You know what? Let me go ahead and hide everything you want on your preacher. You can hide everything you want on your mom and dad. Let me tell you something.
That shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of things shall fall down at the golden
Would God be looking for you tonight?
Go ahead. That's exactly what they did.
King, these teenagers, they were grounded. They knew where they stood.
What
I think the reason why they went to Israel because they were different.
Because I think a lot about our way. I think there was a good testimony.
We ought to look different. We ought to act different. We ought not go ahead and come to a stop sign and have our radio be the one. Boom, 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 boom. You know, that's the world. We ought not be so spattered up against the world that we look and we smell and we act like we're, hey, we ought to be different this evening.
Purpose in his heart.
You can go ahead and change my name, but you can't change my heart. You cannot change who I am in Christ. I am an Israelite, and I always will be. Hey, he says, I belong to God, and I always will
not defile himself in the fortress of king's meat, nor with the wine.
We need some mom and daddy who have some grit. We need some church members who have a little bit of grit about them. Not just a little bit, a lot of grit. Hey, we need some people who just go ahead and stand for the cause of Christ.
The eunuch said unto Daniel, why was it, my lord the king, who
Daniel
appointed your
successful? What made it these boys
your drink?
So successful? For why should he
because Daniel purposed in his worst liking?
You know, Daniel had a goal. He had a purpose.
Your sword.
He had an aim. He was shooting for something. He was shooting for some cause. He knew that turning out right would not just happen.
Take
some teenagers. Don't you think that you're going to just, if you desire right now, and I know some of you boys who call to preach, and you've been holding fast to that call, if you will, we need preachers. You're going to go ahead and fulfill that call for you. It isn't going to happen with a nonchalant attitude. Well, you ought to fight. You ought to
let our countenances look upon before.
You ought to smother yourself around children. You ought to desire to be on the winter warm-up, if you will. Get around preachers.
So he can send
you ought to be around. You ought to desire to be around for the church house. You ought to hang around the godly authority. Get yourself under the umbrella of authority. Let me tell you something. The teenagers tonight who battle, who have been having the most battles.
Hey, listen, you go ahead and you prove 10 days. Give me 10 days.
Give me 10 teenagers and young people stronger.
By the way,
let me say this. You may think, well, you're having fun. I'm rebelling right now. Give me 10 days. It won't be so much fun.
The Bible says, let me just read on here a little bit more. The Bible says, and at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter and fat than all of the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them coats for the vegetables. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge.
Preach a little bit more
on all learning and wisdom.
Amen.
And Daniel had understanding.
You know, we're so wound up. We're just so excited about the worldly things, the prince of the power of air, the television, all the everything out there, and that we forgot about the preaching, we forgot about the church house, we forgot about the Word of God. Hey, teenager, if you're going to go ahead and turn out right, it won't just happen.
All matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the
cause of astrologers. He knew that turning out right just wouldn't happen. He was going to have to stand for something.
You know what? And it's no wonder, you know what? The Chaldeans had a little bit of something against
you. You know, when the winds of opposition blow, instead of the king, I don't think you know what, you may have one, a little bit of opposition.
Instead of saying, well, I'll be
being
you push yourself in my picture, Aaron, and you give me 10 days and see if I look better and see if I'm stronger.
And the Bible says because of that, he realized that he didn't have to live in a world that he doesn't have to be of the world.
Wisdom and so forth.
You know, the Bible says,
decided to do the world. Right. And the Bible also says in the world that the king came in,
any man love the world them, love the
and he found that they were all had wisdom, they had knowledge.
We have to work in the world.
And we have to our differences.
By the way, we don't have to bless God, act like the world. We don't have to drink beautiful pictures of the world. We don't have to smoke the cigarettes of the world.
You know what?
We don't have to watch the television chunk of the world.
We don't have to go ahead and listen to the music of the world.
Hey, we ought to rise above.
There ought to be a new creature about you. There ought to be a different countenance about you. There ought to be a different desire about you. There ought to be a desire. God, I won't put anything before you. I won't put any other gods before you. I won't bow down to any other god. I'm not going to worship a career. Or a car, or another person. God, you're going to be the first place in my life. Hey, you ought to be a difference about you.
Joshua's cause was go ahead and lead them, literally take them into the promised land. David's cause was go ahead and course the giant. Abel's cause was go ahead and promote the blood of Jesus instead of the work salvation. What is your cause tonight?
Years between
Mom and Dad, what is your cause tonight? Is your cause to go ahead and do everything you can
watching
your children need the equipment they need through the Word of God so they can go off and be a success for Christ? Christ,
if you're watching
just well, my children are going to do whatever. No, they don't have to do just whatever. You know, you teach your child the Word of God. You teach your child to be in church. Hey, you know, you lead by example in your home. Hey, teenager, what is your cause? Your cause, your boyfriend or your girlfriend more than Christ? Is your cause that little cell phone that you like to text and so forth more than Christ? You say, you against texting? No, but I don't do it.
Oh, King, I can just see these guys.
Yes, we got them.
You know, texting.
Yes, all right, we got them. Yeah, okay. Hey, you know, we got to have a meeting with the king, guys. Let's go ahead and get the king together.
King,
if you want to talk to me, call me.
You know, and we know the story.
I'm not going to take
you know what they were after these guys, the tattletales.
You know what? When you do right, there's going to be opposition.
One of my former teenagers.
You know, there's always going to be some. When you decide to go ahead and take a stand like these guys,
and
did,
I was just,
you know what?
Just kind of settling down for the night, anyways.
It was almost bedtime. When you decide, hey, I'm going to go ahead and stand for right. When you decide, hey, I'm going to go ahead and attend church. When you decide, I'm going to walk with God. When you decide, hey, I'm going to become a new creature. I'm not going to go ahead and live in the old ways. I'm going to allow God to do a great work in my life. When you decide to take a stand for God,
you know how long it took me to get them three words out.
Teenagers, let me say, I said it the other night. At least five minutes.
You know,
I'm not joking.
Hey, God, I'll keep you,
you know, I'm sorry. You know, that's sleep time, man. You know, but I did go ahead and text her, and then she texted me back.
I know you have to cut away a few things. Let me tell you something. You better be aware.
Call me. I don't care. I'd much rather hear your voice
than
texting. But anyways, hey, what I'm trying to say here this evening or this morning, you know, when you decide to correct, there will be opposition. There will be fire.
What is your cause?
There will be fire.
Your cause,
no, of course,
what
these guys
said,
your cause, your friends,
battle, King.
Your cause, your music,
story goes on,
your cause,
what
King
you want to do,
you know, whatever,
giving them another chance.
And God, wherever you
says
want
right
me
here,
go, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say, whatever.
Of course, he called the guys in,
simply following the will of God.
Verse number 15, now if you'd be ready,
let me ask a question, teenager.
Brought him in, said, you didn't bow down, so let me, guys, I'm ticked off.
Why don't you give God a shot?
I'll give you another chance. Now, if you'd be ready,
you know,
at that time,
I don't know what God wants you to do that,
all the music there and so forth, and all kinds of music. He told us to fall down and worship the image, which I have made.
Well,
if
you
go ahead and
go
do it, don't misunderstand me when I say that. I think you ought to give God a shot. I think it'd be a very, very good idea that
if you worship not,
just through the years,
he shall be cast the
same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I love this verse. One of my favorite verses of all of the Bible. He answered and said unto the king, O king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know what? They were not ashamed of Jesus Christ.
Here I am.
You know, they were facing the biggest fire, the biggest battle of their life.
You ever considered what
let me tell you something. These guys right here,
you ever considered what I'm sure just like you and I, life, if you would just go ahead and submit totally to God,
you know what? These guys had the same emotions you and I would.
God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it.
I guarantee you, maybe in that their heart of hearts, I have a feeling.
If it's plumbing, whatever the case may be.
You know, and if God calls you to some other field other than the ministry, then
I'm sure there might have been a little bit,
even a little bit of plumber, the greatest Christian carpenter, the greatest Christian on that job, wherever it may be, that you possibly
just like we all
be.
Are. Amen.
You know,
When you go ahead and you face the cancer, when you go ahead and you hear the bad doctor's report, when you go ahead and you face the financial problems, you know what? You kind of wonder, okay, God, you know what's going on? You know what?
Teenager, God wants you to stand.
You know, and I hear you guys felt no different than you and I feel when we go ahead and
you're going to become 10 times better, as the Bible says, as a result of some circumstances we'll talk about in this moment.
They weren't
going to
buckle.
You're going to become,
you know,
God wants you to
be
10 times better.
So
the king put it later on. You have to have a purpose.
You ask, who's going to go ahead and deliver me from this fire?
It is God or nothing.
Let me tell you,
it's going to be number one.
If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire and furnace.
God,
he will deliver us out of
I mentioned earlier, my preachers were my role models.
But,
and they still are today. I hope, you know, my greatest hero of all would be Pastor Steve Prisser. He's preaching right up and on. Not yet. You know, they're a little bit different than us. They start in about 5 minutes from now. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, he's my hero. I thank God for the time that he invested in me. And I thank God for everything that he's done for me.
Like
me helping equip me for a greater fruitfulness here in Carver. But the truth of the matter is, I have just decided I want to surround myself by men of God. And, you know, I'm not talking about just preachers. You know, we have a lot of good men of God in here. I just love these guys. I love being with the men that encourage me. I love being with the men that come to me and say, preacher, I'm praying for you. I love being with the men of God around here. Hey, you know what, teenager, you know, if you're going to do right, it's not going to just go ahead and happen. You're going to have to decide to get in the book. You're going to have to decide to have some good role models. You're going to have to decide to get on your face and beg God for his power and beg God to help you live a clean, pure life. Don't just rely. Don't you expect the preacher to go ahead and do it all for you. Yeah, I'll pray for you.
I love this verse, number 24.
Yeah, I'm
going to
go ahead and do everything I can for you. Doesn't matter whether you're a teenager, a child, or an adult. I'm going to pray for you. That's my job. I'm going to love you. That's my job. And I love my job. And I'm going to go ahead and pour my whole life into you. But let me tell you something. It's going to take more than just your preacher to pray for you, to help you turn out right. It's going to take more than just your mom and dad to help you turn out right. It's going to take you taking a little bit of initiative and getting on your face before God and say, God!
The fourth is like the Son of God.
You God,
their testimony.
God, help me to be what you want me to be. Hey, you know what? If you're going to become 10 times better, you've got to have a purpose. You've got to decide it's God or nothing. You must be determined not to let the world, the flesh, and the devil get a hold of you. You got to get in the book. You got to walk with God. You got to pray. Hey, mom and daddy, you got to do the same thing. You want to be what God wants you to be, you're going to have to give up some worldly appetites. Amen. You're going to have to give up some things of the world that maybe you're kind of hanging on to. You know, you want to be the kind of Christian God wants you to be. You may have to go ahead and do away with some of them pet sins that you got. Doesn't matter who we are in here tonight. God has a special plan. He has a purpose for you. He wants to go ahead and care for you. He wants to give you a great life. But let me tell you something. If you're going to be the kind of mom and dad you're going to be, you may have to do away with some stuff. Hey, teenager, if you're going to be the kind of teenager and an adult that God wants you to be one day, you might have to give up some things. You'll have to maybe give up your rock music that promotes sex, rebellion, drugs, and Satan. You may have to go ahead and do away with some of that type of stuff. You're going to have to go ahead and do away with Metallica. You're going to have to do away with Britney Spears. You're going to have to do away with Madonna. You're going to have to do away with Kiss. You're going to have to do away with Marilyn Manson, who, by the way, worships in a satanic church in California.
Let me stop and say this church is always worth doing right.
What a freak.
It's not
so
worth negotiating with the world or the devil.
God have mercy on
him. You go ahead and do that, you're going to get in trouble.
You know what? I don't know how you can go ahead and turn out right for God if that's the kind of God.
Always worth deciding as a new Christian or a seasoned Christian never to go ahead and leave versus all the Bible says.
You don't have to have the mind of Christ. How can we go ahead and absorb that into the body and the mind that God gave us? You're going to have to give up your gospel music. You'll have to give up your Beyonce. You're going to have to give up your Michael Jackson. You're going to have to give up your Christina Aguilera. You're going to have to give up your Eminem. You're going to have to give up your Snoop Dogg. You're going to have to give up your Ice Cube. Hey, you're going to have to go ahead and give up some things in your life if you're going to be what God wants you to be. Let me tell you something. Daniel turned out right. Daniel became 10 times better. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego became 10 times better. Why? Because they purposed in their heart.
They weren't going to defile themselves in the world. Let me tell you something. You know what? The world.
You're going to have to give up your country music.
Going here just a moment.
You're going to have to give up the kind of music that promotes shacking up.
Testing, come on.
Loose sex.
Are we on?
Tricky.
All right. The world goes ahead and sees you. If that neighbor sees you getting in your car on a Sunday morning going to church, and they see you faithful in different things, they see a difference in you. Let me tell you something. When the fires come, you always stand your ground. Don't you go ahead and buckle. Don't you go ahead and bow. Don't you go ahead and desire to bow down to the world. Let me tell you something. If there's people looking at you, and no doubt there are, maybe there's family members, they see that you're a Christian. They know you go to church on Sunday. They know you're trying to raise your kids up for right. They know that you want to go ahead and do something great with God. They know that you're trying to invest in your kids to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hey, let me tell you something. You keep that testimony. When the fires come, when the fiery furnace in your life comes, you stand your ground. You go ahead and decide, hey, I'm going to go ahead and stand for right. I'm not going to go ahead and waver with the Bible. I'm not going to waver with my music. I'm not going to go ahead and waver with church attendance. I'm going to go ahead and stand my ground. And let me tell you something. That's what we need today. We need Christians today. Now stand their ground. Don't you go ahead and bow to the world. Don't you bow to other gods. Thou shalt have no other gods.
You don't see anybody. Ask a question.
Is there something in front of God this morning?
Believe that.
Come on, the King of Kings, the God of
going
God. Is there something there this morning?
Using the talent.
There's something that you put in front of a church attendance. Is there something that you put in front of your Bible reading each and every day? Is there something that you put in front of a family time? Is there something that you put in front of everything else? Hey, what I'm trying to say, hey, you ought to keep God number one. Hey, you know what? These guys, they never wavered.
You know, you may have to.
They never said, King, let me think about this. No, adamantly, they said, King, we're not going to bow.
My experience as a preacher.
King, we're not going to go ahead and bow.
Being a young man
read,
at one time, and
we
still
see the
am,
face.
By the way.
We see that it's always worth doing right no matter what. We see the deep faith and reliance upon God from these guys, that he would see them through. But if he didn't, you know what? Their time was up.
You
know, we're all going to face God one day.
There'll be a good,
and if you stand your ground, I think of people burning at the stake for the Word of God.
Go to church.
You know, they wouldn't go ahead and change their mind about the Word of God. I know people, John Knox, people of the past, that went ahead and they burned at the stake for the Word of God.
You go to a youth group. You know, you'll have a crowd. By the way, we'll reach every teenager. I'm not going to be anybody, but you know, I can tell. I can tell the teenagers who want to be in their place.
When you go ahead and you face that trial that will come, what are you going to do?
The men of God,
when you go ahead and you face that struggle or that illness, what are you going to do? Bail out on God? Say, God, this isn't fair. God, this just isn't right. Why is this happening? God, I've gone to church. I've walked with you. Why, God, is this going to? Why is this happening? It might be that he's trying to weed away something. It might be that he's preparing you for something better. It might be that he's preparing you for something better. It might be that he wants your life to be a testimony to some young child or some young teenager, and they see you go through the fiery furnace, and they see you come forth as gold, and they look at you and say, I want to be like that man. I want to be like that lady. I want to have the faith of that preacher. I want to have the faith of my mom and daddy. I saw them go through the fire. They never wavered. They kept me in church. They kept reading the Bible with me. They never went ahead and wavered. It might be when you go ahead and face that fire, God may put you there to see.
Do what you will with sleepovers and so forth, but you know what? If you're going to have a sleepover with your young child, a teenager, boy, you ought to know everything about that family and about that child that they're going
not,
to
they might have looked at it and said, well,
you know,
kind of,
you say, well, they're church going. Well, what church do they go to?
They would not
what kind of church
course,
do they
regardless.
Go to? What kind of music do they listen to?
They didn't go ahead.
Well, do they listen to contemporary junk or whatever the case may be? You ought to know every single detail. If you want your child to grow up and be the kind of
Christian ahead and do right,
that,
church,
that you ought to be investing in, parent, you ought to know everything about the kind of friends
that you want to stand with me on King James Bible. You're going to have to face opposition. You want to go ahead and stand for standards. You're going to have to face opposition. You want to stand for right on the job. You may have to go ahead and face opposition. People may make fun of you because you read your Bible on the job.
You ought to become better. We ought to desire to become better.
You know, people may make fun of you because
you
take your kids to church and you go to church every Sunday. You keep on going to church anyway. You keep on standing for right.
We ought to put a filter on what you watch on TV.
You know, there's some steps to fighting the fire, God's way. Number one,
so why are you preaching against TV?
You got to consider.
You have one?
Fire.
Yes, I have one. But the truth
you know,
of the matter
fire
is, you got to be very careful. You got to know what your child's watching.
A battle in one's life.
And if they can't control it,
you know, consider the fire.
Have a
touches the Christian course
God.
In this
put
story
away
here. In verse number 12, the Christians are the Jews, those that were separated, that lived with God, these three boys. These Jews were found out about by the Chaldeans. They were tattled on, and the fire was about to come and begin for them. What did they do? They didn't back away. Nowhere in the Bible are you going to find a guarantee. Nowhere, you can search a scripture, nowhere in the Bible you're going to find a guarantee that a Christian is going to live free from the storms
of life. Sex-driven sitcoms.
Nowhere.
MTV.
Look at the Apostle Paul.
Parents, if your kids are going to become better,
Look at the grace.
Be what God wants them.
You know, nowhere in the Bible will you go ahead and find a guarantee that you're going to be free from storms. By the way, you know what? You take this book and apply the principles, allow the Holy Spirit to guide you every day, and you're going to get people mad.
It's your house, isn't it?
You stand your ground. You know what? You're going to get people mad.
They live under your roof, right?
You know, you decide to go out soul winning. See how many people get mad at you.
Well, that's just
you know, you decide to live right.
Go ahead and
see how many people get mad. See how misunderstood that you get, that you become.
Find out what.
By the way, you know what? Jesus was misunderstood too.
You know,
no doubt. Not just Jesus, but Moses was misunderstood. Paul was misunderstood.
You know, you ought to say.
But you know what, Paul? Man, I just love it. With this one thing I do, I'm going to keep on pressing forth. I'm not going to go ahead and look behind. I'm going to keep on pressing forth. I'm going to keep on going on. I'm going
to
keep on pressing towards the mark. You know what? You go ahead and you apply the Word of God to your life. You get in it every day. You live in it. You make this a part of your life.
Parents, you live with a purpose to serve God, so that your children ought to desire to as well.
I believe that that you may even get ratted
maybe
on
you
people.
Adults here tonight.
You know, I just I've seen
past.
It. You know, I remember.
You know, when you're here tonight.
I remember when I was working downtown Chicago. I was, you know, if there's one,
and you
one
have
character,
terrible things of the
issue,
past,
I guess that was taught
you
to
now
me
have children,
at
now
a young
you
age.
Know what you can teach your children.
I grew up on a farm.
What to do and not to do.
It was work.
You can go ahead and
yeah, I'm
and
not afraid of work.
Some
it was not.
Some
I mean,
you know
we sweated with the most of it. We'd work until the hay field was cleaned up every night. We worked hard milking the cows, working around the fields, planting corn, all this stuff. You know, one thing I'm not afraid of is work. When I was in Chicago, I worked with this guy. You know, he was full time. He was on the day shift. I was second shift, and I came in
and under some duties. And
Sunday school teacher, he pulled me aside, right in part of my shift. He said, "Sean, you need to slow down
so that they can go ahead and see
he
the
says,
difference
you know,
that Christ made."
You know, he was mad.
Irregardless
was
of your past,
you know. And this guy was all out to get me. I mean, I came, I read my Bible during lunch, and I prayed. I was not ashamed of God.
Boy,
parents,
you ought to pray
and so forth.
With them and with
I'd
them.
Go
you
in there, and he says, you need to slow down.
You ought to live for him.
And
they ought to
I went to my supervisor, not
you.
The boss man.
You listen
boss
to the right
man.
Music and establish the right kind of music for your children to listen to.
Four
your kids will not know what is right if you don't go ahead and teach them.
We had a very good relationship. He went to the supervisor. He says, you know, Sean,
you teach them how to live clean and pure by guarding what they watch on TV
and
by who they hang around. You teach them to be in church by you.
I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, he was trying, you know, he tried to
you
get
know,
every,
we
even
do a
some
total
of
the
men that were just above me and so forth, just under the management,
said, well,
trying
you
to
know,
get everybody against
you don't understand. My kids
don't
care. You know,
I just wanted to, I went and told Jim, you were just working too hard. You're making us look bad.
People by being in your place. Mom and Dad, if you have young kids,
I said, what am I supposed to do?
Why don't you decide right now? I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to be in my place. I'm going
to
walk with God.
I said, you know what?
There's
one thing I learned here, Rudy. I'm not going
to
go ahead and sit on my, and I saw this guy, he sat on his duck, he would
go
ahead and find any single way he could to get around work. I wasn't going
to
go ahead and do it.
You lead by
I said, you know, I came to work, you know, I want
to
be able to get a paycheck on Friday and get honest.
You get up, you be
the
leader.
You know, the truth of the matter is, you know what,
you know what, church, hey, have your clothes ready, we're going to be ready to go to church in the morning,
you decide not to go ahead and mingle with
the
dirty jokes.
You go ahead,
you decide to not go ahead and mingle with the child that
you plant that desire by your walk with God, reading the Bible. Let them stumble across to reading the Bible once in a while.
They may go ahead and do it.
Let them see you on your
you're go
knees
ahead and be
every so often praying for them.
God, no,
I'm not saying for a show. I'm not saying, well, you know, I think my kids will be coming through about this time.
Don't
let's
you
go ahead and be
sure.
No, I'm not talking about that. But if you feel led of God to go ahead and pray right there in the living room and your children just happen to walk in, praise the Lord that they see a mama
you know
and a daddy praying. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you be the kind of parent they ought to be. Teach them to sit up in church. Have them sit by you and listen to the preacher. We also do a total injustice by just letting our kids do whatever they want. Service.
God, you're number one.
Amen.
Everything we do,
you're
we
quiet.
Want to worship and we want to.
You know, we just go ahead and let them doodle. We let them do whatever the case may be. And it's no wonder when they become a teenager.
Moms and dads, you'll never regret it if you just decide and get some priority right. Okay, God,
I can't do anything with my kids.
You will never go ahead and regret it. But you better be prepared when you lay it out on the altar and say, and you offer your kids to God.
Did you keep them from talking? Did you keep them from doodling and coloring and so forth? Hey, we do a total injustice by doing it. And it happens so often. I've seen churches
in your life that maybe there's some pet sins in your life that you need to lay out on the altar and say, okay, God, I know that I'm not being blessed because of this sin. I know whatever the case may be, and you lay it all out. Let me just warn you. Let me just go ahead and prepare you. You get it up here right now. You know what? You better be prepared for some fires. You better be prepared for some trials. Don't you go ahead and back down from living right and living according to the word of God when the pressure comes. When you lay it out, you just decide. I'm going to lay it out to God. God, I'm going to go ahead and link up with you. I'm going
to
rely upon your strength. These boys had to rely upon his strength.
He had a plan for the purpose. What I mean by that is, let's just read a few more scriptures.
Don't you go ahead and turn your back
on it.
Don't you start rubbing shoulders with the world to feel like you're accepted.
We read that. Now God,
you know, all the
approval
you needed
from Jesus. And tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. The prince of the eunuchs,
and I'm not living
said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat.
I'm not living to go ahead and
please
people around in the world. You know what? I'm living to do
what
God wants me to do.
Then shall ye make me.
And that means if I, as a Christian, want to compromise a little bit and say, well, you know what? I don't want the battles of what people say about my church and about the word of God. So, you know, I'm going to water down just a little bit and so forth. You know, I'm not looking for the world's approval. I'm not looking for the National Council of Churches' approval. I'm looking for God's approval. I want to be straight with God. I want God to go ahead and have his glory here at the church. I want God's glory in my life. Anything else would be a step down.
He says, listen, you know, he, and he had
you start rubbing shoulders with the world to try to feel accepted. You're taking a step down. Why would you
had a plan.
Step down from God?
He says, give me a shot.
Not in salvation.
You go ahead and in verse number
verse number
12, what it says, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, maybe 10
days. I'm tired of the battles.
Let them give us pulse, that is vegetables to eat, and water to drink. That was their diet.
We need you most. That's when you
so yeah, he had a purpose. He wasn't going to go ahead and defile himself.
The next generation.
But you know what? He says, listen, you know what? The king selected us.
Seeing how you
and stand before the king. Let me tell you something. I promise you,
the fires will come. He was about to approach the boys. They hung on. And godless people, Nebuchadnezzar saw the testimony of the Lord. Number two, consider how the fire touches the separated.
We'll have a countenance that's better than any of the others around.
You know, I made mention a moment ago, these boys were separated.
You go ahead.
They were Jewish boys. They were not eating meat.
Daniel
chapter 1, we read that.
You know, and by the way,
you see these guys, no doubt,
they
knew the law, and they heard the music play. They heard the decree. They knew the decree.
He had a
and everyone bowed down in a hurry, but not them.
In his heart, I'm not
they served not thy gods.
So he said, hey, listen,
the informers, the Chaldeans noticed. These guys were the most upright, godly men in the kingdom. I think there was a testimony about them. People saw there was a difference in them. Don't think for a moment that if you live the cleanest life, the most pure life, that you're exempt from troubles
on a way out.
You know, people think, well, you know, if I give my life to God, certainly there'll be no problems. You know, everything's going to be a bed of roses. Don't you misunderstand me. We are to go ahead and live separate from the world. But don't you think that your clean life
you're in a car with a group of guys.
Don't you think that if I'm good enough, nothing's going to happen to me.
They go ahead and turn off
if I do right, all will be perfect. You know, it's impossible to have perfection this side of heaven, by the way. And that if God, if something does happen, here's what happens. Here's something.
You know,
when something does happen,
I don't want to listen to that.
We have this notion we get saved. Everything's going
to
be perfect. Everything's going
to
be wonderful. Life's going to be a bed of roses. But when something does,
you got to go ahead. You may have to think ahead.
You automatically think.
You may have to go ahead and plan ahead a little bit. And you say you have some sort of plan.
You know that
I'm going to be in this situation.
The Holy Spirit will go ahead and deal with that.
And you go ahead
but
and
on the other side of the coin,
sort of
oftentimes
right.
It may not
and you know what? It may be in that situation, that illustration
Job.
I was talking about, you just
Job
brought me off right here,
man
and I'll go ahead
shooting,
and call my mom and dad
says.
To pick me up. That may be
he suffered like few other men have.
Whatever it is.
Yet God's testimony about Job was that he was a man of God.
You know, God had the purpose.
You know, he went through
and
trials
day.
And testings like
and dad,
no other man except the Jesus. Boy, very few other men have gone ahead and suffered the way Job did.
And the cause, and you're going to go ahead
and oftentimes, like Job, God will take the holiest and the cleanest
situations
alive.
Daniel, I think, had a plan.
Put you through a fire.
He went ahead and said, you just go ahead and give me a shot. And then,
so
of course,
you
verse number 13,
so
then let our countenances
you for
be looked upon before thee.
Does he do it
and
to
the countenance
you
of the children
no.
that eat the portion
does
of the
he
king's
do it
meat?
To cause you to
and
squirm
as thou
and
seest
looks,
the
old
also. So
no,
he
no,
consented
no, no,
to
no.
them in this matter and proved them 10
many
days.
Times it is
at the end of
10
days,
he,
here's what happened. At the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and better in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink. and gave them pulse. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge. You know what? By the way, these are already
Job, when he was going through all the fires.
You know, back in verse 4, you know, it already talks about the kind of children that these boys, teenagers, already were. And because they chose to do right, you know what? God gave them more.
The boys said the same thing, basically.
You know, to me, that's what it's saying there. You know what? The king said, you know, I want you to go to the children of Israel. I want you to go to that crowd. They're different. And these kids are already smart. They were cunning and
all these years I served God.
Verse number 17 had a blessing. As for the four children, God gave them knowledge. They already had it, but I think they got more knowledge. Any skill and learning and wisdom. Daniel had understanding and all
God. And I want to be closer to God. Hey, King, I'm not going to go ahead and bow. You know what? My God is able to deliver me.
Single parent, whoever the case may be, whoever you are, you decide, hey, I'm going to go ahead and be sold out and live right. God will go ahead and bless you. You just need to go ahead and
God,
trust
I believe, was putting, and you're going to see it in just a moment, God was putting these boys through a fire
to the right place
so that he can prepare them with this,
you know, the right place. What did the king want? What was the king's desire?
You may be going through a fire in your life right
years,
now.
We're go ahead
and you may be on the verge of quitting. You may say, I don't want this anymore. I don't want this anymore. You just keep on hanging on. You go through the fire because
you know what?
You
ultimately,
no,
because
God is
of going. The purpose. Because Daniel's plan was not to get off
says
that purpose.
When they went
he gave
through
them
it,
kind of another plan.
Nebuchadnezzar
them, so
saw their testimony. He saw
God
the fourth person in the fire. He was astonished. The Bible says in verse number 30 of our text, chapter 3, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach,
this wicked king, what did he have to say in all matters, verse number 20?
They took a step
above. Let me read verse number 19. And the
God was preparing
with
them for.
And among them all was found none.
Number two, number
among
one.
Among them all. I don't know how many was there, but
combating the fire, God's way. Number one, consider the fire. Number two, commit the fire.
Among them
no
all,
doubt,
none.
They're anxious
Daniel
in their heart. We talked about that. They knew when they faced the fire, they couldn't face it alone. You know, but they did something that was so wise. They gave the battle to the Lord. You know,
that was the desire way back in the early part of this chapter.
We get to a point where I can handle this myself. I can handle it. God is right there.
That the king and
cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
What the
that means
said.
Literally just throw it at him. You know, whatever you're going through, just give it to him. You know what? They did something so wise. And boy, that's a good lesson for us. You know what? When you're going through the battle, you're going through illness, you're going through cancer, you're going through a financial trouble, you lost your job. Why don't you decide, instead of sitting back here and say, God, this isn't fair. I'm quitting church. I'm quitting the word of God. I'm quitting raising my family for the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and quit. God, this isn't fair. Why don't you go ahead and flip that over and say, okay, God, you know my need. Here.
You just decide.
Here, God. I cast it at your feet. I don't know what else to do. I'm just going to go ahead and cast it at your feet. And instead of compromising, instead of negotiating with the king, they said, we're not going to go up ahead and bow. And God's going to take care of me. You know, God will see you through it.
And you've
got to
go
ahead and see you through it. You cast it at his feet. What were they going to do about it?
They stood before the king.
You know, they had their standards implanted. They knew what they were going to do. They knew how they were going to stand for God. They weren't going to go ahead and waver in God. So they figured, okay, the king made this law. What are you going
to
do about it?
They ought to take notice that
bow down.
You are a child of God.
I'm going to bow down.
Because of
the only God I bow down to is God, is the King of Kings. Why am I going to go ahead and bow down to your God? What are they going to do about it?
You know, as a pastor,
compromise on what they knew was right. No,
our people,
the fire was coming, and they cast
moms and
it to the Lord.
Adults.
16 through 18,
I
very
want,
clear.
I
they just said,
better
you know
than
what?
Average.
Our God's able to take care of us.
And I think that's what it's talking about. In
but if he doesn't,
year,
he doesn't. But we're not going to go ahead and compromise our position.
Why would we want anything?
Well, that's what we should do. When you face it, you need to give
why
it to
would
him.
We want
when you face it, consider the things,
our all
a few things they consider.
The that we can.
Remember, number one, their connection
why
to God.
Why would we want that?
Your connection to God.
But
verse number 17:8, if it be so, our God. Notice those two words, our God. You know what? When you go ahead and you face the fire, you commit. You consider the fire, and then you commit the fire. You give the fire, if you will. You give the burden, if you will. You cast the burden upon the Lord. You say, here, God. You go ahead and take it. You cast your battle at his feet. And remember, your connection to God. He's your God.
You know, my desire is.
You know, he said, they said, our God is able. You know what? The same God they
have. Church better than
you have.
More sensitive.
And you know what? God is not a respecter.
Strong in the word of God and more active and standing upon the principles of the word of God. That's my desire.
The men had a special relationship with the one who can do all. You can too at salvation. By the way,
you
saved this morning.
Went for the children.
Do you know for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Let me tell you something. The greatest joy, the greatest relief you can ever have, the greatest burden lifted this morning is knowing for sure you're saved. But I recognize recognize their special relationship with God. They had a special connection. Our God, boy, they had a God that was personal. They had a God that they knew intimately. They walked with God. They knew God, and they trusted in God. Their faith, like I said, one of the lessons we can learn is the faith that they had in our God. They knew that God would go ahead and take care of them. They maybe were a little bit apprehensive as well, but they knew that God was able to go ahead and do it. You can have that special connection with a holy God who knows all and can handle all your situations. But you know what?
Could he pick out you?
You're saved this morning.
No misunderstanding.
You feel like God's
far
away.
These boys weren't perfect. They were human. We're not perfect either.
Oh, preacher, I want to cast my burdens to the Lord. And by the way, God knows your burdens.
Everything that you know.
God knows you. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're way away from God, as far as backslidden, or if you're right up close and you've nurtured that relationship, it doesn't matter where you are. God knows it.
You're somebody.
It may be because of their sin that you got, and you're living way out here, that God might be putting some trials and some pressure on you.
Can God, teenagers, I want
him trying to say, nurture my relationship with me.
Mama, dad, adult. Yeah.
That you're in this category, a backslidden category. You're living so far away from God. You got sin in your life, and it's growing and growing and growing, and it's controlling you. And you may be going through some fire simply because he said,
stop in our life.
I want you to nurture my relationship.
I love him, obviously. Saved by
grace. There was a day that you had that loving, close relationship. There was a day you had that prayer closet. There was a day you had a walk with God. There was a day you'd fall down at Jesus' feet, and you'd weep, and you'd cry, and you'd leave happy, and you'd have a special relationship. There'd be a glow about you. But somewhere along the way, you backslidden. You let sin get the best of you, and God may have put a little bit of fire in your life.
I want these three boys. I'm going to hone them, so to speak. I want to prepare them to stand before me.
You know what? If that's your case this morning, why don't you before it's
we're all going to.
Why don't you decide, you know what, Lord, I'm coming home.
Doesn't matter who we are.
Lord, I don't want to live over there anymore. I want to live under the umbrella of your authority. I want to live under the umbrella. When you get under the umbrella of the Word of God, and God, you know what? You're going to have
protection. We're all going to face him one day.
You're going to have his divine protection.
Is there something in your life, if Jesus was to come back tonight?
Listen to me, whatever it is. Why don't you make him your God this morning? If you're not saved this morning, make him your God. If you're backslidden this morning, why don't you come back to your God?
There's something in your life that maybe you've got to take care of.
And nurture that relationship through the preaching, through the Bible and prayer.
I want to have a purpose and a plan.
Be connected to God by your faith vision.
God has for you.
You know what?
God wants
you know, the best place to be, Christian,
Mom, Dad, God wants
when the fires come,
you know, Sunday school teacher, God wants to
being totally in tune.
Are you giving your best to your class, Sunday school teacher? You're giving your best to the
you know what,
teenagers.
When you know
the, best to
the fire and the battle
best
is going to come.
In singing, whatever the case may be.
Boy,
God
there's a
wants
calm assurance when you know that, man, the best of your ability, each and every day, you're walking with
Father,
him, you've been
you.
Faithful, you've been serving him, you've been doing everything.
God, I don't know,
boy, when you know the battle comes,
lay this on my heart tonight,
and you have
Lord,
that
try to be as clear
sweet
as
spirit
could,
between you and God.
Try to put all my thoughts on paper.
Boy, that's a wonderful place to be when that
kind of went
comes.
The way that you,
he'll give you the grace to to
God, I
help
thank
you
for
get through it.
Your word. I thank
remember
you
his control.
A purpose. The fact that you want us to have a purpose.
Not only remember the connection
you
have to God, but remember his control.
God,
verse 17b.
Never,
if it be so, our God,
that you want to use me,
whom
God, I thank
we
you
serve.
For the privilege of being used by
I
you.
I love these two words as well.
I thank you even for the privilege, as I mentioned this morning, thank of you. Of sometime you got to put me through the fire.
These words
that
can
you,
make all
that
the
you,
difference. These
that
are
count
truth.
Me
worthy
enough to go
faithful
through the fire from time
men
to time. I thank
of faithful
you for
Christians
that.
Use.
God, I thank you for
when you face the fire, you know
church,
what?
You
can
people,
say with confidence
these
like these men.
For these adults,
see, when we're backslidden, we
kind
of lose that confidence.
Workers in the church to go ahead and reach
I don't
their
even
full
know
potential.
If God's listening to me. You know, God knows where you are, where you are, by the way.
I pray, God, whatever needs to be done tonight in the invitation, it be done.
You can't.
Our eyes are closed.
I know people when they're over here, and they're
far
from God. They're saved, but they know where they should be, but they're not willing to go ahead and make the change necessary, whatever they want to live in their sin, and when the fires come, they don't have
you know,
that
maybe
confidence.
Mom and dad is maybe a few parenting skills you may be.
They don't have it.
To hone up tonight. Maybe
that's why they'll oftentimes, and I'm not opposed to this. I love my people.
Is,
they'll come to my office
adult,
and say, "Oh God, pastor, please help me." You know what? Simply because they may be over here and they don't have that confidence in saying, "God's able to get me through this." God is able to get me through this simply because we've kind of drawn away from him. Hey, let me tell you something. These guys, hey, had a close relationship with God. They were knit with God, and they had no doubt, and they went ahead and said, God, you're going to go ahead and take care of me? My God is able. They knew the fire was going to be hot. They knew there was no escape, humanly speaking. They knew that this hot fire, what this hot fire could do to them. They knew that when they faced it and were thrown into it, the Heavenly Father had all the power to bring them out. He had all the power. You know, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, the Bible says. You know what? They knew that God was the only one that could deliver me. Hey, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar gave them another chance. They didn't go ahead and take it. They weren't going to go ahead and compromise. And they said, King, my God's able. If he doesn't go ahead and deliver me, that's okay. But my God is able. He had all the power to go ahead and take care of it. Just as he did for them, he's able to go ahead and take care of your situation. You have a tough marriage this morning. You know what? Your God's able. You have financial problems this morning. Your God is able. You have a no job situation, your God is able. You're looking at the tough economy, your God is able. You look at a new president, new transition, our God is able. You look at the wars and rumors of wars, our God is able. You look at the peer pressure, teenager troubling you, our God is able. Hey, God has not changed. What he's done for one, he does for all. He can and will deliver you if you have the faith in him. You must recognize him. You know what, these guys, they weren't blurry vision about who God was. They were close to him. They weren't backslid. They didn't compromise from day one. They said, hey, I'm going to keep my relationship. I'm going to nurture my relationship daily so that when the fire of the fiery furnace came in their life, they knew, they had a confidence, they could recognize God for who he was and say, I know my God, King, I know my God will take care of me. He's able. He's able. What needs to be done in your life? You know, he's still God. He's still on the throne. There's no power or being that can go ahead and knock him off the throne. Lucifer tried, but look at where he's at today. Nobody can go ahead and cast him off the throne. If he got into the fire, he's still in control. Guess what? His hand is on the thermostat. You know, he may turn it up a little bit to go ahead and see just what you got and see if you're going to make it through the trials of life. But let me tell you something. You go ahead and you trust him. If he turns up the heat a little bit higher, look at it as a privilege. God, I don't know why you're doing this. And it hurts. But you're going to use this, aren't you? God, you're going to use this, aren't you? Let me tell you something. The Christian that can say that when his hand is on the thermostat and he turns it up a little bit, they're the ones that are in tune with Jesus. Because like I said, when you're over there, you have your doubt. You have your doubt. When he turns on up that thermostat, God, why, oh, God, are you there? He's still in control. As a matter of fact, when the fire comes your way, you know, it passes by his desk first. You know, let's turn to this verse. I love this verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It tells us that it goes by his desk first. Nothing happens to his people without it going through him first. The Bible says, and there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above yet that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. You know what? He's faithful. He's faithful. You know what? God already knows whatever you're going through this morning. Don't you think for a moment God was sleeping or taking a day off. You know, God knows. Whatever it is, my friend, this morning, God knows. The next point, and I've got to move forward here. Remember your commitment to God. Remember God has promised through this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, God has not promised to give you more than you can handle. And remember during the worst trial of Jesus' life, did he ever quit? No. You know, Jesus said in Luke 22:42, saying, Father, the heaviest trial of Jesus' life, he was in Gethsemane here, saying, Father, if thou remove this cup from me. God, could you please? I'm going to go to the cross. God, he was sweating great drops of blood, the Bible says, in Gethsemane. He was going through the biggest fire. Jesus was going through the biggest trial of his life. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. Christian, it might be good that if you're going through the trial, wherever position you are in, it might be that it's God's will. It might be that as God is willing you to come back to him because you strayed, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Or it might be simply if you're right where God wants you to be, that he's preparing you for a bigger work. After all, that's what John 15 teaches. John 15 teaches about the four level of growth. No fruit, fruit, more fruit, or much fruit. Been teaching on that last Wednesday night. Brother Joe was even hitting on it this morning. And that's what it's talking about there. You know, it might be, you know, that's why when I witness and I see a baby Christian, they may go through the trials of life, the heavy trials of life, the milk of the word Christian, if you will, as the Bible teaches, says they are. And God goes ahead and he has the thermostat and he kind of puts up a little bit of pressure there. They come to me and say, "Preacher, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? I don't know if I can take this. You know, this has happened. I lost my mom or whatever the case may be. I don't know. I thought it was going to be a whole lot easier. I thought me getting saved is going to be a better frozen, you know." But and I say, "Listen, I'll show them 1 Corinthians 10:13. Say, hey, don't quit. Because you see, there's a growth process to the Christian life." He says, "I don't want you to be just a fruit-bearing Christian. I don't want you just to be a more fruit-bearing Christian." But you know what? He may put up the pressure a little bit so that you can bear much fruit, so that you can be what he wants you to be. Consider the fire, commit to it, and then conquer it. You can conquer it through God's presence. You can conquer it. You can overcome it by the preservation of God. You can overcome it by the power of God. But let's just remember this morning, let's fight fire God's way. Consider it. When you consider it and you know it's coming, like the Jews did, give it to God. And therefore, God will give you the ability, if you're with him and you stick with him, to conquer it. You know, these three Hebrew men, they knew God and they recognized God as who he is. All through this passage, you'll see their faith never wavered. What we need today is Christians whose faith will never waver. Whose faith will never waver. Christians that when you go through the fire, you know you have such a connection with God that you can say, "My God is able. To deliver me." So when you go through it, you can sing this chorus. He's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able. I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He heals the brokenhearted. You there? He sets the captives free. He made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. Hey, he's able. I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. That's what the boy said. He's able, man. King, have your gods. Have you go ahead. But as for me, as for us, my God's able to take care of this situation. I'm going to trust him. And when you go ahead and you have that trust in him, my friend, this morning, as I read the last verse of that chapter, the testimony of these young boys from the very start was so strong. King Nebuchadnezzar looked in. Did we throw three? There's four in there. And he saw the Son of God. And because of their testimony being so strong, what did God do with these Hebrew boys? He was preparing them for something bigger and better. The Bible says they got promoted in the kingdom. You know, it might be today that you're going through it, Christian. You're close to him this morning. You're walking with him. And it might be God has you going through a fire, whatever. You may be going through it simply because he's preparing you for a greater fruitfulness. And it might be that he is wanting the outside world, maybe a friend, maybe a relative, to see as you go through it if they can go through what they're going through with a grace, I definitely want what they have. You know, your testimony speaks volumes to the world, ought to speak volumes to the world. I'm not saying that, you know, you look the part for Jesus and you do this, people are going to get saved. No, we need to be telling the people verbally how to be saved. But you know what? Your testimony should speak volumes to the world. And it may be that you're going through the fire today because you're so far away from God. Why don't you come home today? You're saved. You could take me to a time backslidden Christian where you know for sure that you asked Jesus into your heart. You can take me to that spot and you know you're saved. But it might be you're going through the fire because he said, hey, come on. I need you back in the battle. I want you back here. Come on. Come on. If you're like that this morning, what's going to keep you from laying it out to God and saying, okay, God, you and me. I'm going to team up with you. I'm going to link arms with you. I'm going to follow you. I have decided to follow you. No turning back. What's it going to take? Christian, that you're going through it this morning, maybe you need to just come and get a little extra grace from God. Oh, God, I know I'm going through it. I know I'm serving you. I'm where I'm supposed to be, but God, boy, the fire is hot. The trial's tough. God, I just want to know that you're with me. And I promise you, he's there. Where are you at this morning? Fighting a fire? Fight it God's way. Don't quit. But you just stay in the battle. Maybe you're far away from God. Why don't you come home today? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Maybe here today you don't even know Jesus. You know, the greatest relief of your life would come to know Jesus as your Savior. You have that emptiness in your heart. Don't know Jesus as your Savior. Boy, without hesitation, boy, in a couple minutes when we have the invitation, boy, I would plead with you. You come forward, shake my hand, say, preacher, I want to know for sure I'm saved this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. What a testimony of these three young men. Boy, they just stood strong in the battle. They never negotiated. They never compromised. They never wavered. And oh, how we need a revival of Christians. Oh, how we need a revival of Faith Baptist Church members deciding, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to be faithful to him. I'm going to be in my place for him in church and read my Bible and raise my family in the Word of God. I'm going to go ahead and not rub shoulders with the world. Oh, how we need a revival of Christians just to decide, maybe to press that reset button, say, God, I'm with you. I'm going to stick with it. No matter what fire comes, I'm going to stick with it. Maybe there's some good Christian people here today. They're saved. They know they're close to you. They're serving you, but they just need some grace this morning because of some battles, some fires. Maybe there's some backslidden ones here today. They need some grace. They need to come back. Maybe they're going through some fire because you are trying to get them back to you. And maybe there's an unsaved one here today. They don't know you as personal Savior. I pray whatever it is, whatever decision needs to be made, it'll be made. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Won't be too lengthy here, but maybe you're here today. I know we're standing right now, but maybe you're here today. You say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. That's me. Would you raise your hand? I won't call you by name, but God spoke to my heart. I need to make a decision this morning. You know, there's things in my life. God spoke to my heart. Here's my hand. Just put it up good and high. I won't embarrass you. There you go. God spoke to my heart. You may put your hands down. Maybe you're not saved this morning. Maybe you're here and, boy, you have that emptiness. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to come to know him this morning. Maybe here this morning you say, preacher, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. Would you please pray for me? I want to make today the day of salvation. I want to get this thing settled. If you like that today, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. That's me. Would you please pray for me? Anybody at all? Okay. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Holy Spirit, you do the work that needs to be done. And this invitation this morning, in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed. Music's going to play. If you need to make a decision, won't you move this morning? Music's going to play. I surrender all.